This is the Packet Pushers, the almost greatest ever data networking podcast. Tonight we are live from New York in a show sponsored by Viptela, and we will be talking about software-defined WAN with people who've done real-world deployments. Just goes to show you there's a sucker born every minute. The wide area network is not a yo mama joke. It is a place where we take wheelbarrows of our employer's cash and tip it into telco and carrier pockets for an oversubscribed bandwidth between sites on a three-month lead time after 19 phone calls, three sales meetings, 25 hours filling out a request for a new circuit, and then 30 to 40 more telephone calls to actually get the circuit installed. And let us not forget that most of our WAN technology is still living in the 1990s. Custom hardwares, CLIs that are easily mistaken for pagan rites in a dark night in a wood, design meetings that seem more like mystical fairy tea parties where magic wands and unicorns are literally everyday experiences. 6 months ago in show 240, we talked about the design of the software-defined WAN, and tonight we're talking to real customers who are deploying Viptela in their networks, and we're going to take time to learn the lessons that they have around them. So let's go down the audience. First of all, let's welcome Mr. Ethan Banks.
Hey, nice to be here. New York, Manhattan, here we are.
Here we are.
Yeah.
Live in New York, it's like a thing. The room's actually full. This is actually a really big space.
And so what's weird about that is usually we're on Skype, and we don't even run video when we're recording the show. We don't even see each other. And
you're now not that like, pretty.
There's all these people out here in front of us, and they're looking at us, every single one. It's a little creepy, I must say.
It's a little something. It's got that... As a hardened introvert, having people around me is a bit off-putting.
We'll sleep extra long tonight and try to recover.
Okay. First of all, I'd like to introduce John Schaefer from GreenHill.
I'm John Schaefer. I'm CIO for GreenHill & Company, based out of New York.
Thank you. Say hi, John. Here we have Scott Smith, who actually works for a big company in the financial markets. Scott?
Hi, everyone. My name is Scott Smith. I work for a large enterprise in the financial vertical, and I'm an infrastructure engineer.
And also Snehal.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Snehal Patel from Gap. I'm a network architect.
All right. Okay, so what we've got is a bunch of topics. I want to talk about speed of deployment. I want to talk about how we scale up a DMVPN solution to thousands and thousands of sites in a single deployment. We're going to talk a little bit about bandwidth provisioning. We're going to talk about how we operationally get some wins, sort of the benefits that these guys have experienced at an operational level. And then finally, flexibility and then some security topics. So let's kick off the discussion. First of all, speed of deployment. Now, a lot of the people, when you've provisioned a WAN network, you roll out a router to the site. Often you measure your deployments in terms of one or two sites per night. But what we're talking here is about your deployment experiences using Viptela. So Scott, tell us a little bit about your experiences in deploying the solution, how you did your change management and zero touch.
So what we were able to do is actually design a completely green field space for us to work with. We set up a brand new infrastructure, so we weren't doing a rip and replace on the data center side. We were able to create a brand new silo. So from a change management perspective, we weren't actually affecting our true production environment. So it gave us a lot of leverage to build that environment from an isolated lab, QA, and into production. So once we started doing our production deployment, we were able to seamlessly bring that online. We weren't stepping on our old branches. We had all of our, greenfield space that we were able to utilize.
Fantastic. Now, John, you're at GreenHill, which is a slightly smaller organization, but a far more personal one. You're much closer to what's actually happening, but you're more on the business side. What's your experience been about how you started to go through the speed of deployment? You started off just a couple of sites first?
We did, and we didn't have a greenfield environment. We actually had a requirement through a company that we acquired to get them connected pretty quickly, and bringing up the Viptela solution was far more quicker to get up and running than it was to get our MPLS solution. So within a matter of weeks, a week, I mean, in an hour of implementation time, we had a new office connected just like that.
Hang on a second, because when you say MPLS, I'm imagining it might take a long time, but it's a defined process. This isn't hard. It might be annoying, but not difficult. But you're saying Viptela was easier to deploy. Convince me.
We had network connectivity in an hour. So I've never seen that really happen with an MPLS solution. I mean, it's usually months.
And so the circuit you deployed was not private MPLS. You just used broadband?
We just used internet that the firm already had, yeah.
Yeah.
So it was a matter of getting the right IP address and making some connectivity and working with the Viptela techs. And it was up and running. It worked.
So you were working with Viptela to get you started that first time?
Am I allowed to say that? Yeah.
I mean, I think that it's important because sometimes you need to work with your vendor and sometimes you get abandoned by your vendor. You're sort of left on your own. But one of the things in the prep meetings that we had was your experience with working with Viptela was actually kind of positive.
Paul's out here somewhere, and he's the genius that made it all happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we had very little knowledge of what was going on other than providing information that he asked us for.
Right. So you had a new company, you acquired it. You then said to yourself, I'm just going to go with Viptela at this new company and deploy it up because you needed something to happen really, really quickly.
Well, we had been looking at the technology and we had really focused on going with Viptela for a couple of reasons, but partially because they were able to support things like OSPF that some of the other vendors were not. They made the transition to their service very easy.
Okay. Now, Snehal, you're working on a much bigger network. Tell me your story about that one.
At Gap, we are doing internet as a WAN, yeah. And we are deploying Viptela routers in all our stores, putting in broadband circuits and then deploying Viptela routers to build tunnel back to the data centers. We work with deployment partners to do this deployment every night, and we end up doing 15, 20 stores every night. We have done maximum of 40 stores a night a couple of weeks ago.
40 stores?
A night.
In one night?
In one night. Right now, as we speak, we are doing this podcast, and someone out there is deploying Viptela in one of the Gap stores.
Okay.
So back up a second, because you said part of this project is pulling WAN routers out. What was the driver to pull those out for you guys? Because I would think you could add Viptela as a layer, an SD-WAN as a layer, but keep your routers in, because that's something operationally you know how to deal with. But WAN routers are coming out. What was the driver to do that piece of it?
Well, Viptela is our WAN router now. One of the biggest driver was cost. If Viptela has full routing stack, it can do all the functions that other router can do, then we don't need other router there, and we don't have to pay for the two routers' maintenance cost.
Okay, so it was simply, you trusted the Viptela box to do everything the router was doing, why keep the operational overhead of the router?
Absolutely. We took baby steps, we did some testing in the lab, we deployed them in some of our experimental stores, that worked well. So we did a small pilot deployment of 50 stores, that looked good, and that's why we are deploying them in many stores right now.
So talk to me about how you can get 40 sites rolled out in a day. Is this around some special technology that you're using, or is that just because you're throwing so many resources at it?
Viptela has something called ZTP. It's easy to stage the router, configure the router. It's truly zero-touch provisioning. We heavily use that. We have deployment partners who are not that much technical. We have just taught them mechanically how to stage routers, how to connect circuits to it, and then how to do a cutover, move from the other router to the Viptela router, and that's it.
You're using encrypted sessions between those sites, right?
Yes.
So the whole PKI thing just sorts itself out? You don't have to just...
So that is one of the strongest feature of Viptela. Like, you don't have PKI like the traditional way, yeah. As we had all used to. There is TPM chips on these routers. There is no IKE in the configuration. You don't have to do key exchange using the configuration. The system does it on its own. Mm. And it's just IPsec tunnel without IKE. It's completely automated process, very easy to deploy.
Let's switch this up to scaling, because a lot of people who are running, obviously the Gap and the financial institution is heading towards a large number of sites. Now, one of the things is that when you're running a DMVPN solution or DMVPN from your favorite vendor, the thing is about DMVPNs is that there are many people who have DMVPN solutions. There's many routers from many different companies that provide that. But DMVPN has a scaling problem around different sizes. So, Scott, you're heading up towards several thousand branches. Is that scaling question, has that been? Have you got some inputs there?
Yeah, I can speak to that. So our target goal is we're designing our infrastructure to hit 4,000 remote branches. That's the number we're shooting for. Everything we've designed around the control plane, data plane, anything with the Viptela solution will support up to 4,000 remotes. And the beauty of the solution is for us to increase that from 4,000 to 6,000 to 8,000 in the future, it's just horizontal scaling. So all you're doing is just adding more of their special sauce components, like the other controllers and that. You just scale horizontally, so it'll go as far as you want. There's no caps. There's no, when we look at DMVPN, you're looking at the amount of neighbors and tunnels and all that. I mean, you just simply spin up another instance of their control plane component, and you can just, you can spin up 60 if you want. I mean, you just keep going.
So by the control plane component, you mean there's an SD-WAN forwarder that's kind of like the router sitting out there at the edge device.
Exactly.
You've got a controller that is pushing policy down into that SD-WAN forwarder. Yep. And then you've got a certain number of forwarders that you can manage with a single controller. So to scale, you're adding controllers out there.
Yep.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you're dealing with, you're not managing individual controllers yourself. You've still got some single pane of glass, correct?
Exactly. And one of the things with our solution, too, is they're what's called vSmarts. Is their big control component is the vSmart. And they're basically route reflectors. So as you scale those out, it's a full mesh, so they all know about each other and they all share that information across that full control plane. So it's very easy just to, and they're all x86, so you just spin up another one, it joins the group, and you just keep scaling that way.
Now, another point worth making here, these controllers that you're dealing with, are these in your data centers or are these in the cloud?
You have the option to do either. For our business purposes, we brought everything in-house. So we host all of the control plane, data plane elements in our own converged infrastructure for VMs and everything.
And we don't.
You guys run it all in the cloud.
We run it in the cloud.
Yeah.
We as well. We run into cloud.
Oh, actually, that's interesting. Do you want to get to that later, Greg?
Because we've got a security piece. Snaha, you're running a very large, you talked about, you know, the Gap obviously has quite a few stores around the world. Your scaling question, how do you feel about scaling up so far? What's your story there?
So I know Scott mentioned they are heading towards several thousand sites. But I did want to mention that we already have very close to 850 sites in production. And ours is the largest SD-WAN deployment in the world as of now.
It's pretty cool, right? Now, considering that most of us only heard about SD-WAN earlier this year, and there are people running 850 sites in production, I find that staggering.
Yep.
Yeah, that's quite something. That would normally, that technology would take years to adopt and to prove up. So scaling up from here, like normally in a DMVPN solution, you wouldn't get, more than 400 or 500 nodes in a normal DMVPN network, but this is already way past that?
That's true, yeah. And we have sized the network to scale up to 2,000-3,000 nodes as of now. And we won't be worried until we deploy that amount of sites. And then, as Scott mentioned, we would just add more controllers and then keep scaling as per our requirement.
So you're running it in the cloud. Why did you choose to run the head end of the DMVPN stuff in the cloud?
Just for scaling. We can leverage Viptela Cloud, deploy controllers in East Coast, West Coast, here in US, even in Europe and Asia Pacific, and we won't have to be worried about the geographical latency or anything at all. It's more flexible model as per our understanding.
So you're not even buying the hardware for the head end, you're just renting it from Viptela?
No, so head end is just another router which is in our data center, but the controller is in the cloud.
Right, so you're using the Viptela vManage as a cloud-based service.
Yes, vManage is just the dashboard, and vSmart is the controller. So you can manage this whole system using the vManage dashboard.
Right.
That is in the cloud as well. And then vEdge is the routers. We have the smaller version of routers in our stores and the bigger boxes in the data center.
Important point of clarification here, though, because you were just talking about latency, being able to put a controller on the East Coast or the West Coast, depending on the nodes that it was managing. That is a control plane component only, not a data plane component.
That is correct.
There's no traffic that goes through these boxes. You're talking strictly about pushing policy down into the nodes and latency there, not traffic-related latency.
Pushing policies, routing changes, if something is changing, and then the tunnel stats, the circuit performance, all that is through the control channel.
Yeah.
Okay, so instead of buying those management engines, you're letting Viptela run that management plane for you, but all of the devices are actually on your premises or in your data centers themselves.
That is correct.
So instead of buying a box and running the GUI platform and all that sort of stuff, that's all managed for you as an external service.
Yes.
And that speeds up your operational deployments by not managing that?
It definitely does. Like, now we have a single point of management. We can do several things from there. We can look at the circuit stats. We can do code upgrades. We can push configuration changes to several hundred sites using templates. All that has become very easy. And previously, we did spend a lot of time doing things on multiple routers, several hundred routers manually, one by one. Mm-hmm. That all is gone now, and it's very easy model which we have right now.
Okay, I want to change up now to our next topic, which is bandwidth provisioning. Now, the big thing about software-defined WAN is most of us are pouring money, as I said in the introduction, wheelbarrows of cash into the carrier's pockets around private MPLS circuits. And if you're using a WAN router, you've obviously got an active and a standby. So you're only using 50% of the bandwidth. So half of your money is being wasted. And if you've got redundant routers on site, you've also got wasted assets. So the choice about bandwidth is that, you know, as John said a minute ago, he was using internet bandwidth for those circuits. John, why don't you kick this off and talk about, are you planning to just move to internet only, or are you going to keep your private MPLS?
Well, I think at some point, I mean, if things work the way they work, we'd eventually migrate off of MPLS. But I wouldn't say that's right away. Yeah. We're still working on getting our entire environment onto the Viptela network, which all of our Viptela boxes are connected via an internet circuit right now.
So you're load balancing between a private MPLS service and an internet connection?
We do have a combination. I mean, MPLS is still our primary network. We do have some locations that are purely Viptela.
Yep.
At this point. But, you know, I think we're finding that the performance is pretty good even over an internet connection. And internet's cheap and you can get a lot of bandwidth relatively inexpensively. So I think that we need a little bit of time to just to get used to the service and confirm the reliability is what it really is. But assuming that it continues to go that way, we either just go very low on our MPLS and drop those costs down quite a bit, or, you know, potentially start removing it. I mean, we have an office that we opened in Singapore, and they had internet access, and we provisioned a box and sent it out there. And they were, when they got the box, they plugged it in, and they were connected to our network. And that's the way they work right now. So I'm not sure that wouldn't work everywhere else as well.
Okay. So, Scott, you've got a story which is probably going to be very familiar to a lot of people. Tell them about your bandwidth story.
So we have a lot of branch offices, and what we want to do is really right-size the circuits for what we're looking at. We have a big TDM T1 footprint as of right now. We're really looking to evolve as the technology evolves and look for an Ethernet solution once TDM goes away, and it gives you a lot more flexibility. So we basically break it up into three different types of branches: our small, our mediums, our larges, and within that we define how big of an Ethernet they're going to get. So
beyond just the size, is there an specific application mix you're trying to support?
So one thing we're doing is there's a lot of like UCC that's coming into our branches. We're also, we have a lot of like business critical traffic, and that's why we're sticking with MPLS. That won't be something that's going away for us. The amount of quality control and QoS we get from there is very important to our time sensitive and business critical apps. So we'll be staying with that. And from the sizing perspective, yeah, it's like 3, 6, and 10, small, medium, large. And then also we're bringing in broadband as well, and that's basically as big as the LEC can give us for the sizes. I mean, it's such a commodity. Just get as much as you can.
So if you could get 100 meg Ethernet, you go with it?
Most likely.
What? You should come to Europe. You should see, I got 100 meg Ethernet in homes. Well, one day when they actually deliver the blooming thing. I moved house recently, and it's taken them 8 weeks to get my internet connection. I'm starting to get fairly grumpy about the whole thing.
You're on DSL like a savage.
I do. Even then, it's broken DSL. It's only 1 meg.
And we do have 3 transports currently going into our new branches. So we have MPLS, broadband, and we're also utilizing LTE as well.
And you plug all of that into the Viptela at this point? Or?
Yep. Yeah, so we have 2 of what's called the VEdge 1000s at our branches. So it gives us hardware redundancy, transport redundancy, and there's just so much flexibility in the solution. It was funny because when we ordered the broadband, we looked and we got 4 LAN ports, and it was like, well, why don't we just plug one into the A, one into the B? Like, what are the implications to that? We had it up and running in 20 minutes, and now it gives us broadband failover to our backup router as well. So, I mean, it's just that flexibility.
You don't have to provision the circuits of the Viptela to do self-discovery? Or?
Yeah, we use the zero-touch provisioning process, and all of our templates are in there as well.
So, Sneal, you've got a similar sort of a story. You're internet mainly today?
Yes. In US, we are doing internet as the WAN. All our stores going forward will have 2 broadband circuits.
Right. So MPLS is gone or just in some stores?
No. In all U.S. stores where we are deploying Viptela, MPLS is completely gone.
Right.
In corporate, we are doing hybrid.
For offices, corporate offices.
Yes.
Is that just a scaling issue, or is that just a reluctance to sort of...
Just the reluctance, purely reluctance over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but you're not just deploying one internet connection, you're deploying many?
We are deploying two as of now, and for some stores where we couldn't get two circuits, we are deploying one broadband and one 4G.
4G?
4G LTE circuit, yes.
Literally like a little 4G modem plugged in with an Ethernet jack?
Yes, that's correct.
And that works?
That works, yes. Most of the time, we have not seen any issues. Sometimes, if the signal strength is not that great, then it might not work as expected.
Yep.
But you can still get your credit card swipe done, and that's what matters.
Right, yeah. These are retail stores, yeah. And so it's all about that swipe.
Yes, yeah. That's correct.
What you've done is you've made a topology decision to say, you know, internet 4G.
Right.
But the only thing that runs over 4G is the credit card swipe.
No, well, if we are deploying 4G, the way we run it is everything goes through broadband as long as broadband is up.
Yep.
And if broadband goes down, everything shifts to 4G. But 4G is always active. It's just that there is no traffic passing through it if broadband is active.
So one of the other things that we're talking about is you're keeping on adding bandwidth. So in some sites, you're just 3-4.
That's true. So we haven't done that yet, but we have tested in the lab. And we were worried that at some stores we might not be able to find circuits with high bandwidth. And one very good feature of Viptela is you add circuit and it will just keep load balancing between the circuits.
Yep.
So that's a good way to augment. We've seen other vendors where they just give you one or two WAN ports and that router would only accept two circuits, but that's not the case with Viptela. The VH1000, which has 8 ports, you can have maybe 7 circuits and one switch connected on the 8th port.
As long as you've got Ethernet connections coming in from the provider, which is most WAN bandwidth today, you get it as an Ethernet jack, you don't get it as a... Okay. Now, one of the things that we were talking about is that you made a comment earlier, which is you're actually discovering that a certain number of your MPLS providers aren't actually all that awesome.
That is very true. And we had this problem in Europe. In Europe stores, it's a hybrid model as of now. We couldn't just get our MPLS disconnected for some reason. And what we've seen is we are seeing packet loss on those MPLS circuits.
So the promises they made to you weren't actually all that good.
Not quite.
It now, are you using... So you're using the Viptela to prove that those providers are less than perfect?
Yes. We have stats to show the packet loss on those circuits.
And that, and now you can do something about it, like negotiate a discount or just get rid of them? Don't answer that question. That's kind of a fun one. All right.
I guess the point here is the Viptela is taking active measurements across each circuit, and therefore you're gathering constant set of metrics about how that circuit's performing, because that's part of what the Viptela box is doing, making a decision which circuit to push traffic down. And therefore, you're getting that's where these metrics are coming from, showing you that some of this MPLS circuitry that you're paying dearly for, in fact, sucks.
Yes, that is very true. Yes.
Wonderful.
Okay. Let's talk about operational wins and benefits, moving on to the next topic. Now, one of the things is that during the research that we did for this show, I talked to these guys and said, what is it that actually gives you a win or a benefit about once you're post-deployment at an operational level? So, Scott, you were telling me, first of all, about resiliency in the branch and then how quickly you were able to get it going, so as a win and a benefit.
For the first one, the resiliency in the branch, I brought that up kind of with the broadband. You can just connect it down. It's very easy to create that resiliency. So we have not only hardware resiliency with having two V edges in there, but having the broadband transport land on the A router and the B router. We would almost have to have 3 or 4 failures before we hit our 4G. So it keeps us off that more expensive transport. So if we can keep it on the MPLS that we're paying for or on the broadband, we keep that traffic off our more expensive LTE connections. And we, in order to go to LTE, we would have to have a hardware failure, 2 transport failures before we would even touch LTE. So just insulating ourselves that much, it gives us a really big win for the branch.
So in terms of operational design wins that you've getting, tell me about those.
Yes, so the operation design, there is obviously a lot of benefits with this new design. One key benefit is that there is a separation of control plane and data plane, which is very important from my perspective, and that should be one of the key component of any SD-WAN solution, basically. Once you have control plane up, you can do anything with the data plane, and connectivity will always be up, and you won't be worried of your router going down or you mistyping an ACL and bringing the whole router down.
Right.
That's one win. Second is obviously active. We are fully using our both circuits, not like the previous DM VPN design.
Now, when you say active, can you give us some details on that? Because a lot of us that are used to like ECMP or, you know, even unequal cost load balancing would think of this as you send a flow down one line, you send a flow down another line as kind of load balancer. This is more complex than that. Can you talk about it?
No, it is as simple as that. If you have two circuits, the router would try to load balance between both circuits, send one flow from one circuit, the other flow from the another circuit, and it's as simple as that.
And there's still intelligence about the quality of the lines, though.
That is true, yes. Yeah. If you have loss in your circuit, and if you have configured a policy that if you have more than 2% of loss on your circuit, don't send any traffic through the circuit, then router won't send it.
Yes.
And by the way, you can also do unequal cost load balancing. You can set a weight of 80-20, and you can send 80% traffic on your primary circuit if you wish to make it primary, and then 20% traffic on
the second. I've got a 100 meg circuit, I've got a 50 meg circuit, and you can respect that bandwidth.
Yes. Yeah. So that's another design win. VManage, which is the dashboard, is our central entity for everything now. Our templates live there, and we make a change on the templates, and those changes gets propagated to all the routers. So that doesn't mean now, basically, we don't have to do more CLI changes.
No fingers being beaten to bloody little stumps on the keyboard and trying to match up ACLs into profiles and stuff like that.
Yep, get it right in the lab. Once it's working in the lab, just push it in production. You'll be good. That's what we've been doing.
So it's just template driven. This is my template, and then it just works out. This is the IP addressing at this site that works all the rest of that stuff out.
Yes.
You don't need an Excel spreadsheet or some whack.
Very similar to that.
Yeah.
And another benefit we have now is if someone goes onto the CLI and makes change, and if that router is connected to a template, the system is smart enough that it will detect that there is a diff in the config, and it will roll back the config change that was made on CLI. So now all your devices will be having the same configuration as what you desired.
Sure.
And can you batch how you send a policy change out, or is it kind of an all or nothing? I mean, if you've got 1,000 devices you're managing and you make a template change, can you say, I want it to go to these 20 that are kind of a test case?
If all 1,000 devices are attached to one template, then all of them will get it. But we have multiple templates based on our requirements.
Okay, so you could set up a template that would be your guinea pig template, if you will. And then
that's what we do. We have a separate lab template, and we do all our experiments in the lab first before we push it out to production.
Got it.
Is your lab made of physical devices, or do you have some in virtual machines?
No, physical devices.
You want to test the actual site?
Yes.
Could you do it in VMs?
We could. We have not tried it. We prefer more actual device in the lab. Yeah. That's what we've been doing.
It's just something that struck me about that. John, what's your story?
I'm looking at the shot and wondering what it's doing in front of my face.
we can just do the shot, if you like, and then take it.
We can wait on that.
You think so? Maybe you can have a sip. Let's stop it. Take over.
Why don't I tell you my story first?
All right.
Yeah, your design wins, John.
Yeah, it is pretty strong. I choked a few times as I...
The initial story is that we got the devices to help speed up the deployment of some offices. And then after realizing how simple it was to do this, and with some issues with our MPLS provider sometimes deciding to cut out primary and secondary circuits when they said that doesn't happen, we thought that maybe this was a really good opportunity to throw these devices in all of our offices as a backup to a really expensive MPLS network that we pay for.
Yep. And don't use.
Now we use it when it works. I mean, it mostly works, but we've had some instances, and you know, we don't run everything through the Viptela boxes. We have them side by side. We run OSPF, and that's the way we're routing traffic. But the idea is that we have separate internet in most of our locations that should be relatively diverse from the same circuits that we're getting from our MPLS provider. And that really should build in that third level of redundancy.
So you're still early in the cycle. So compared to, you know, the other two...
Well, we have 15 offices, and they'll all have Viptela boxes as we move through the upgrade to get them all implemented. And we tested it today, and we had an office that was having a problem with its MPLS network, and we switched over to... We forced it over to Viptela, and evidently the performance works a lot better. So,
over the internet.
Oh yeah, I mean we have 100 meg internet circuits. That just in most of our locations, that's not hard to get. Mm-hmm. I don't think that would have made a difference. I think 20 would have still done just fine.
100 meg internet's cheap.
but 100 megs cheap. So you can do that, and you could still get two diverse 100 meg circuits if they're available, and it's still going to be cheaper than your MPLS network.
I feel justified. I've been saying that the only solution to cost is more bandwidth. Is that right? So, am I right, Ethan?
Well, it's nice to have more bandwidth.
We're proving it out here, right? I mean, you go one story about private MPLS carriers dropping packets. Okay, now that should be a rarity considering what MPLS is and what you're paying for. But the flip side of the story is internet circuits, particularly if there's enough bandwidth, can deliver enough quality. And that, no, we can't tag packets going out over the public internet and expect them to be honored. We know that. But when you throw the SD-WAN solution on top that can continually do the bandwidth monitoring or the quality monitoring for that circuit, it becomes viable at that point.
Well, they also do recovery, right? So because you're sending packets in a tunnel, the tunnel itself can actually recover payloads that get corrupted or if things get out of order. So there's a whole bunch of intelligent costs. It's not just packet tagging. There's actually an intelligent inspection engine in there. So the big thing about SD-WAN appliances more generally, not just VIPTELR, is that they're often running x86 servers that have 10, 20, 40 times the performance of your average IP router. And so all of a sudden your ability to inspect packets and do intelligent, you know, data recovery and pattern matching and all that sort of thing is dramatically different. Let's move on talking about flexibility. Now, one of the problems with the WAN is that it's often a brittle. So if you're running OSPF or BGP or an MPLS-enabled WAN and you're trying to bring it together, one of the challenges is that if you reconfigure your OSPF, you might break it. Or if somebody puts a default root in the wrong place, then all of a sudden your entire WAN goes out. And what I want to talk here is about your experience of reconfiguring the VIPTELR. Like, how do you fiddle with the WAN paths or the routing and how your application-aware routing is of that. So how you have one sort of thing. So let's start off with John. You're saying that your primary routing today is still MPLS, but VIPTELR is giving you deployment to e-site. So your flexibility story so far has been just speed, that ability to get things down quick.
Yeah. That's pretty much it.
And your ability to fail over from an MPLS to the internet, that's currently your... And you're building up confidence around that?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's still pretty early. It seems to work really well. I guess I think that, you know, maybe the next step is to start moving some offices and make that the primary and see how it works. I mean, I think in the end, when you start looking at the costs and how easy this is, if you were to tell... your management that you could save 80% on your wide area network costs, but maybe every once in a while you lose a little bit of quality, maybe.
Yeah.
But that, you know, comes out to a large chunk of money. They might be okay with it.
Now, that flexibility, you had also mentioned you guys use OSPF, right?
We do.
So does that mean the VIPTELR box is announcing routes just like your traditional WAN router is announcing routes?
Yes.
Only the MPLS is more attractive. Typically.
It's weighted, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So when you want to flip over to the VIPTELR box, it's just changing OSPF costs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to put you on the spot. I know you're not the OSPF architect.
That's the way, theoretically, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So Scott, what about you? You are running a larger network.
Yeah, so what we're really focusing on, one of the big wins with VIPTELR for us, is we're using a lot of their app-aware routing and routing functionality that we can bake in. In our traditional scenario, we would have... basically our MPLS line with QoS. We have a lot of business-specific applications and time-sensitive applications we protect with QoS, but you still have a ton of default traffic that's coming through. What we're able to do is use the app-aware routing and some of the other routing features that they have, and we push that traffic only over MPLS for only our time-sensitive, our true business-critical apps. We let anyone who wants to go on the internet, you know, any of that like default class traffic, we just push it right over the broadband. So there's no more competition between the two from a transport perspective. I mean, it's completely separate. And then we're really keeping the MPLS for what we deem as truly business critical traffic. And that gives us the ability to right size the circuits that we talked about earlier. We don't need to buy a 10 meg Ethernet circuit for that reason. We can get 3 megs out of it because we know from the size of this branch, that's all the amount of business critical traffic we're going to be putting over that link. So it gives us a lot of granularity into the amount of data we're going to be pushing over it and the way we really want to architect our WAN from that perspective. I mean, it's great. And within that, you can actually get as granular as we have different applications that go over MPLS, and they have different thresholds. So one of them is a little more latency sensitive. So if it cracks 100 milliseconds, we'll move it. But we have other stuff that goes over that link that can tolerate up to 250. So we won't shift that traffic until that link gets really bad. So you can get really granular with how you're actually architecting that traffic.
That's really quite sophisticated when you think about it, right? A normal router is this access list says this is what this traffic, you know, if it's this port number or this IP address, that's really all you've got as an access list, mm-hmm. as application recognition. Or you might have, you know, some sort of on the box, but it's only based on the IP header. You know, like I can recognize Citrix traffic, or yes. Cisco has NBAR, other vendors have different products that can do application recognition, we can feed into it, but they're not sophisticated. But what you're talking about is an engine that can recognize really sophisticated parameters for saying, I want this policy to be implemented.
Yeah, and one of the things that's good too is we're not currently doing it, but it's in our roadmap, is if we have custom applications that we use, we can get our own DPI identifications and fingerprints built in based on our custom applications. So if there's something they can use to identify it, whether it's in the handshake or however you're going to set up that traffic, we can actually create that as a fingerprint, and Viptela will build that for us as a custom DPI marker that we can steer traffic off of.
Snow.
Like Scott, we don't use the application-aware routing as of now. Mm. We have all or nothing kind of policies. If circuit starts having packet loss or latency increases for some reason, then we just completely shift the traffic to the other circuit.
Yep.
But in terms of reconfiguring the WAN for flexibility, Viptela has something called overlay management protocol on the VPN. Mm. And you can really control the way you want to do the routing over the WAN using the overlay management protocol. We use all these routing features to make decisions. And currently, that's how we have our network configured as hub and spoke.
Right.
Network, and that's what you use. But if you can use these features, reconfigure the network into a full mesh network or partial mesh network.
So what you're talking about here is a multi-topology concept.
Yes.
So an application might have, you might run a hub and spoke for mission critical data that goes back to the data center.
Yes.
But if you're talking about a region, maybe you have an internet breakout point close to a region. So, you know, right-hand part of America, left-hand part of America, there's no point in transferring that all the way back to the data center. Why not break it out locally? So you'd have different topologies for different applications.
Yes, you can do that. We don't do that, but it's possible to do that.
Right. Is it something you're looking at? Is it in your mind?
In future, yes.
Once you get all the boxes on the ground, you'll start twiddling with it?
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about security. Now, one of the big things inside of a DIA, if you're building any type of encrypted infrastructure, whether it's IPsec or SSL, VPN, doesn't really matter which. And in the case of, you know, it's SD-WAN and certainly Viptela, you can choose which type of architecture you want to use. But if you've ever built any of these things, you know that crypto key management is a major, major pain in the tusk, right? It's pretty grim, right? When you're trying to rotate keys for 1,000-odd routers, how bad is it?
Super bad.
Super bad.
It's about as painful as it gets.
Yeah, right? And quite often, if you're changing 1,000 routers, I've seen something like 40 or 50 of those fail. You actually just lose
the connectivity, yeah.
Yeah, you lose connectivity, and then you're doing a truck roll to get out there and fix it. Now, that's the sort of things that you're trying to solve. So in addition to that, there are other features in the SD-WAN. So the questions that I have this time around is, what security features are you using? Why are those features valuable to use? And are there any specific issues that you had deploying these SD-WAN security problems? So start off, Scott, what is it, the key part of the security features in the Viptela that's working for you today?
So one of the things I want to highlight is the TPM chip. I think it was mentioned earlier. So it actually has a hardware module soldered onto the board that has our certificates and stuff baked into it. So we don't have to worry about managing any PKI or anything. It's literally soldered onto the board, which when it comes through the manufacturing process through Viptela, it's already done. We don't have to worry about it. It's all done with an external source, so they take care of that for us. So we don't have to manage it at all. I think the TPM chip is a big win. I know everyone's, I think you hit the nail right on the head, who's fought crypto for, you know, 3 hours, why isn't this coming up? And, you know, I think we've all been through that before. And
yep.
No one wants to deal with that headache anymore. So just completely get that out of the process and we don't have to worry about it.
You're no longer spending time rotating pre-shared keys or rotating Ike phase one.
No, no,
crypto
none
key
of
exchange
that.
Phase two.
No.
That's just all. So you can rotate the keys at a click of a button? Is that what I'm thinking?
Yep. There's actually a command you can run and it instantly, you know, regenerates it and goes through there.
And then just goes and rolls it all out.
Yep. And we talked about like the vSmart control plane components,
yep.
that are essentially like BGP route, they're just big like route reflectors. So when you do that key exchange, it goes back up to them, and they just reflect it out to everyone else. So it's an instantaneous process. It takes less than a second to do everything we've seen in our infrastructure.
Segmentation?
Segmentation's a big one. So we're doing, in our branches, we have guest wireless that we're using. And so part of our security is what we do is we actually bring that back and do a internet scrub within our data center. So we segment that with what Viptela has with different VPNs. Think of it kind of like a VRF. That's the easiest way to make an allusion to what it is. So we create this other VPN within our Viptela solution that basically backhauls all of that traffic back and keeps it completely separate from our day-to-day business traffic. And it's seamless. You just segment that back and bring it back and scrub it.
Because that guest Wi-Fi, that's full of dirty. That could be anything.
Could be anything.
There's probably evil in there.
So let's drill into this a little bit more. I mean, I know if I want to build a VRF on a router, it's a process that is complex, and I got to touch a lot of devices to do that, to build out that end-to-end infrastructure. So here, when you're talking about segmentation, you're essentially saying, across my Viptela infrastructure, I want to have this virtual network effectively.
Yep, exactly. Think of it, it's as easy as if you're creating VLANs on a switch. Like, it's that simple of a process.
Yeah.
So with on the Viptela configuration, you basically say, you know, that these ports are going to be in VPN 1, these are going to be in VPN 30 or whatever you want to name it, and you just make those changes that quick, and it completely builds that end-to-end segmentation.
And so now, if I've got a device that's in that VPN, it is limited to that VPN and to whatever policies that you've put on it, and you can manage it as a unique network and then have a bunch of other unique networks, whatever you need.
Yep, and you can create specific policies for that. We do some traffic steering built into just our guest Wi-Fi and how we steer that traffic, so you can actually get into that as well.
Okay, and so by steering, what exactly do we mean? Because that means a whole lot of different things depending on what solution you're talking about.
So our wireless vendor utilizes a GRE tunnel for our guest wireless traffic. So we actually steer that tunnel so it never touches any of our other production traffic. We just steer it back into our internet scrub zone.
Meaning it's going to hit a firewall, it's going to hit some kind of a device.
Yep. Yeah, we have DLP, IPS, IDS, all
okay.
that.
What about you, Snarl? Which are the security features that matter to you? I mean, you're running a retail, PCI compliant,
yep.
Real money.
Real money. So TPM chip is obviously one of the very good features of Viptela in terms of security. The key changes automatically after a fixed period of time. You can change that parameter, change the time, and you can probably, for example, set keys to be changed every day, every 24 hours, or even every 5 minutes.
Yep.
It's up to you. Or else you can do it at will, click a button and it will change the key instantly. It's up to you. So that's a very good feature when you're doing internet as a WAN, building an IPsec tunnel with several hundred sites. And then another feature which I really like is the segmentation. As Scott mentioned, it is a very powerful feature. You can create multiple segments. These VPNs have end-to-end segmentation between the data center and a branch site. You can have, like Scott mentioned, a guest wireless segment, which is completely separate from your main traffic. And you can have end-to-end segmentation for all that guest wireless traffic right up to the data center. You can also create some custom topology between multiple VPNs.
It's a bit like that SDN in the data center thing. So we're in the data center, we have multiple overlay networks, and all the traffic sits isolated. You're just bringing that concept to the WAN in some ways.
That's true, yeah.
Okay. All right. I think we've pretty much done this to death. Let's have one more final question. So, John, what do you see as the future of SD-WAN in your network, and what's Viptela going to bring for you over the next, say, 2 to 5 years?
Well, I mean, I think SD-WAN is definitely a threat to some of the other technologies out there, like MPLS.
Okay.
And it would be really fun to dump them at some point.
You won't miss dealing with carriers every month?
No, I just think that they're making a lot of money off of us, and there's newer, better technologies out there, and it's no different than having PRIs and phone systems, and now SIP is coming along to play, and it's to me, it's a very similar comparison. You know, I would certainly think that in some of the more low-impact locations, if we can build a little bit of redundancy in terms of our circuits and bringing something cheaper in, we can start removing some of these more expensive circuits, and it's really going to start reducing our costs. And, you know, I I don't know that I can predict that far out, but I would say within, I mean, certainly within 5 years, I'd predict that we might not have any MPLS.
Perfect. What about you, Scott? Are you all in?
Yeah, well, one thing I think that's on our roadmap as we dive further into the Viptela solution is they have the ability to virtualize a lot of their components, whether it's from their control plane components. I mean, there's an option to use physical boxes, and we have a few of those deployed. We're probably going to be working on rolling those back and virtualizing almost everything from our data center. When you're looking at even our head-end routers, you're able to virtualize those, and those are like features that are coming up with the solution. So we see even more aspects of the solution going into an x86 platform.
So you talked about horizontal scaling of those. So today you're horizontally scaling them by adding more physical boxes?
No, today. Depends which components.
Yep.
So the vSmarts and the vManage, a lot of the control plane components, those are all x86 right now.
Yep.
So we just spin up more of those as needed.
More VMs.
Yep. And now the vEdge routers that we have in the data center, those will have the functionality to be virtualized as well.
Yep.
And then we can use the same methodology there if we need 6 or 7 more routers because we are having a ton of load, like let's say holidays or something.
Yep.
I mean, you can easily just spin up more in those, and then you can scale your head-end infrastructure.
You're not stuck with using hardware in the data center to scale it up and having to buy all the units you need for peak, for Christmas or peak banking time.
Yep.
You're just saying I might have to run up more VMs if I need it.
Exactly.
That's where you're headed in the long term.
Having a way to programmatically do that as well is kind of the future I see for this. You hit a certain threshold, you spin up 2 more of them, and then you come back down to where you need to be.
That sounds pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about that in the prep, but that's kind of blowing my mind in a little way.
Yeah.
Like not having to race to wait 6 weeks or 8 weeks for a box to be delivered, you just
spin them up as needed. Yeah, yep. And being able to virtualize your head-end infrastructure is incredible.
Yep.
There's such a win to that.
Okay. And Snaha?
We've already proved that you can put these routers in store, in branch office, all that works. You're deploying several hundred sites. That's all working great. I have one more thought. Maybe this could be true in near future. Viptela has these small routers, very small in size, small form factor. They call it VH100. You can put them in moving vehicles. You can put them in aeroplanes. They build an IPsec tunnel anyways using some technology. You can put them in a car, maybe Tesla as an example, to scale to a very large number and still bring up IPsec tunnels
wherever you are.
Yeah.
So mobile. So you're talking about actually doing them in mobile, like in trucks or cars or
aeroplanes. Yeah.
That's an idea you're currently.
That's an idea I have, and I think it could be true very soon.
Okay.
We don't know.
All right, Mr. Banks, have you got any deep thoughts, or are you just sort of like reached the limit of all these people staring at us is really getting a bit,
The thing that I like about doing a show like this is we get to talk to people that are actually doing the technology and deploying it in real life, as opposed to sometimes you hear from vendors a lot, and it's kind of like, yeah, okay, but how does it really work?
Hmm.
So we're talking to people about how it really works and what their real-world experience is with the product, which is really important to me. So deep thoughts. And you are asking for a lot at this time of night, my friend.
I am. But you're good for it. I know you're good for it.
Well, so here's the takeaway for me. One common theme here that we got from all of these guys is that it becomes legitimate to push important mission critical traffic across the internet. That seems to be the underlying theme here. Now, one of the things that we did was we kind of kicked carriers in the teeth a bit at cost and about maybe underperformance a little bit and that kind of stuff. And so I am wondering in the long term what the reaction of carriers is going to be to the SD-WAN market. Do they change and react to this as they begin to bleed off private MPLS customers who are shifting over to these alternate solutions? That's going to be interesting. Another thing is that we are seeing carriers begin to deploy some SD-WAN offerings of their own, which is another interesting element.
Or managed service providers instead of offering a managed router network, offer a managed SD-WAN solution.
Yeah, so we're talking to guys here that are on the leading edge of where things are going to be, and everyone is picking up on this, and it's a really dynamic and changing market.
I mean, the amount of money that you can take out of your network if you're not buying private MPLS circuits everywhere, and if you can change your WAN so that you're actually running active, so half of your infrastructure is actually dead in a normal WAN, you're just not using it. And as John was saying, even when he fails over to it, half the time he finds out that the backup circuit's actually dead.
You're ending up with in private WAN, your most expensive line item budget in a lot of cases, and also one of the most complex to manage, and making all of that a lot easier, and a lot of that pain going away. It's very attractive.
I like the idea of bashing up MPLS providers when their bandwidth doesn't perform the way it says. Because it's always been really hard. You know it's bad, but you can't prove it. You had to employ, some sort of NetScout detector and, send trial packets across it and, or you built ping probes or SLA things that did, and they never actually showed you anything. It was kind of pointless. So
we had a problem in one of our offices with, and we had gotten a notification that the provider was going to be doing some router upgrades. Mm. It wasn't going to affect anything. And then for the next day, our network didn't really work that well. And we had to I had to just escalate it and fight with people until finally, at the end of the day, they found a guy that knew what he was talking about. And he saw, there was a change that was made, and they fat-fingered a number.
Yeah.
And I don't know that would happen in this type of solution.
You'd know straight away then. You could give them stats that something's wrong. Send them a screenshot.
Yeah, it was pretty frustrating.
Yeah.
But so you lose a day, and they maybe give you a credit about $120 if they do it all.
They'll make you fight for it.
Yeah. And they'll make you fight for it. That's what you're worth. That's what a day is worth to them.
Yeah.
So we're at the end of the show here. Are you guys social? Are you guys, what about you? You got a Twitter handle or a blog? Anything that you want to tell the people about? If you don't, you don't. That's cool, but...
Not me. Not one you're going to want to read about.
What about you, Scott?
So I just signed up yesterday. So it's SmithSC04. It's my Twitter.
Very good.
And my Twitter handle is SnehalPatel1410.
All right, so that's it. Thanks for listening to Packet Pusher today. You can find this and many more fine, free technical podcasts along with our community blog at packetpushers.net. Now, you too can blog with the Packet Pushers. Anybody here in the audience who thinks they've got at least one blog post in them, you can come along to Packet Pushers and put your words up and get it read by a couple of thousand people. We'd love to have you join our community. Just email packetpushers@gmail.com. We'll get you set up. You should know that Packet Pushers has several different podcast channels these days, including the weekly and the priority Q shows, the network break with the news, views, and analysis. And also, we have a podcast called The Data Networks on data center architecture and silo busting. We strive to deliver interesting, useful content about IT each and every month. And we hope you like what we're creating. Follow us on Twitter as @PacketPushers. Find us on LinkedIn. Like us on Facebook and rate us on iTunes. But last but not least, remember that too much networking would never be enough.